Oh, great initiative by the Jamaica Stock Exchange. Empowering the Jamaican people to become financially literate. Hey, keep up the good work.
Informative and valuable content that is so easy to follow along. I've learned so much from the Jamaica Stock Exchange and you podcast.
You're tuned in to the Jamaica Stock Exchange and You Podcast, a podcast of the Jamaica Stock Exchange, hosted by Henika Watkiss-Porter, demystifying the capital market. Your path to understanding wealth starts now.
It is the Jamaica Stock Exchange and You podcast, and I am, as you know, your host, Henika Watkiss-Porter. Now, many of us get intimidated by the mere thought of investing because we don't think that we know enough to even begin. Then there are the terms and jargons that we hear branded about that we have no clue sometimes what exactly others are talking about. Two of these terms and abbreviations are IPOs and APOs. Well, today, Therese Kettle, Vice President Investment Banking at the REIT Investments Limited, joins us to talk about what are IPOs and APOs and to explain why companies do them. Welcome, Therese.
Thank you very much, Henika. How are you doing?
I am great, and it's good to have you.
Yeah, man, I'm very happy to be here.
Bless you, bless you, bless you. All right, so let's get right into it. What's the purpose of an IPO? But even before that, what is an IPO?
All right, so let's break it down as simple as possible, right? An IPO, and that's the abbreviation for an initial public offer, right? And what does that mean? It means that, you know, so we know of companies listing on the Jamaica Stock Exchange, right? And we know that there are several listed companies on the Jamaica Stock Exchange. So what does that mean? It means when it is the first time that a company introduces itself to the public market, meaning that it issues shares for the first time publicly. So that's why it's called the initial public offer.
All right. And so that initial public offer, why companies need to be reaching out to the public to gain funds? Why does that happen?
For many reasons, right? You know, companies, as we know, and we want to talk about businesses and we want to break it down as simple as possible. Businesses are just like individuals, right? There are limited liability companies, but at the end of the day, just like how we go to work to make money, businesses are out there to make money. So in essence, a business goes to the market for money for several reasons, right? And a business or a company goes to the market to look for funding, and it can take two parts, right? So they can borrow money, or they can actually go to the capital markets to raise equity, right? Sell a part of the business, sell a share ownership of the business to the public. And one of the reasons is that, you know, they're looking to either expand. Now, another thing, and companies typically look out for whatever it is, or, you know, investors should look out for, is why it is that they're raising the funds. And what could happen in the early stages of the company, you could have private investors who would have come in place. You have venture capitalists, you have angel funds who come in place, and you have also investment banks who play an early role in terms of seeding capital for businesses, right? And this may present an opportunity for them to exit the business at that point in time. Or you may have founding shareholders who may, you know, they may want to go into a new direction, they want to start a new business, you know, they like the idea of growing businesses and taking them public, so it's time for them to exit the business. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, there's something bad happening in the company, why it is that they want to leave the business. For angel investors, you know, they're moving on to the next opportunity. Same thing for venture capitalists, right? They're moving on to the next opportunity. And one of the ways for them to actually benefit or get their money back out that they would have invested when the company was private is when the company is listed. Now, I would have mentioned another reason why it is that, you know, companies try to go to the market or list on the stock exchange is to raise additional capital for the business itself. So there are two ways that they can raise, and I said that they could go to a financial institution, they could issue a bond, or they could, you know, borrow from a financial institution as well. But that money that they borrow, they have to pay it back, right? It's not permanent. And if it is that, you know, the company has several strategic imperatives, many initiatives that they want to undertake, and it will take them some time and they need patient capital, one of the ways that they do this is to go and raise capital, sell a piece of the business to the public to get that capital. well, right? And, you know, that's one of the reasons why we've seen many companies come to the market where it is that they're looking for expansion opportunities for the business. They're going to be expanding either regionally, locally, and they need that capital to help them to grow. And that will, in essence, work out better for the business once it is that it's used appropriately in the business.
So then how is an IPO calculated? Who decides the IPO price?
All right. So that's a very good question, right? And, you know, that's where the valuation comes in. And that's one of the reasons why it is that whenever it is that companies are going public, they typically go to our broker like Burrito Investments Limited, right? And that's where we get technical. We look on the historical financial statements of the entity. We do an assessment and we determine the valuation of the company. And, you know, it is intrinsically owners of businesses and the persons who are doing the assessment, you know, which are us, the brokers, either the brokers or underwriters for the transaction. We have our work cut out for us because we have to come to a ground where it is that the owners of the business and us can come to a position where it is that we look on the company and we value that company and we say, okay, this is what the company is valued. And based on that, the company can determine how much additional shares, if it is that they're going to be doing an additional public offer, or how much shares they want to put out into the public space.
All right. So you mentioned something very important, Therese, is that the company as well as the broker and all the other stakeholders have to come to that point where there's agreement upon the valuation of the company. So what are some of those factors that are taken into consideration?
All right. So that's another very good question.
You know, I only ask great questions.
Yeah, man. So the thing is that what they try to ensure, there are a lot of things, there are qualitative and quantitative factors that are taken into consideration. And for the most part, you want to make sure that at the end of the day, your underwriter, your broker understands your business, right? You have to ensure that the business itself is on sound footing, that you have the right people, you have the right management team, you have the right governance framework, you have a risk management framework in place, you have operational policies and procedures that drive the business. And those things are important. In addition to that, what is also taken into consideration is the financial statements, right? Right? And typically what happens is that the broker, you know, along with anybody else who will be looking on the valuation, they'll be doing an assessment. And what they're going to be looking at is the financial statement, the financial performance of the business. We're going to be looking on, you know, what are some of the drivers in that business? How does the business make its money? We're going to be doing an assessment of the financial statements, looking on the income statement and looking on the balance sheet, because we know that the assets of the business, you know, really drive how much revenue that business can generate, right? So we want to make sure that we understand the business, understand the makeup of the revenue, we understand the makeup of the expenses and how that filters down into the profitability of the business.
Based on what you're saying, Therese, obviously the investors themselves need to have an understanding of financial statements and be able to read them, like the balance sheet, your profit and loss statement, and, you know, cash flow statement, all of those things, which we're not going to get into today because we have just a few minutes for this conversation. But obviously that is required. Now, a company has issued an IPO and there's lots of take up. It's doing well. Company is now doing well, raising the capital that it wanted. But now we recognize that, hey, we need some more money. And so there's an APO that is announced later down. Talk to us about that. What is an APO and why that is required?
Okay.
At times?
An APO is very similar to an IPO, right? So an APO, and the acronym stands for an additional public offer. And what does that mean? It means that it is a secondary offer that is coming to the market, right? Or it's an additional offer that is coming to the market. So typically what we would have been used to in probably before the last 3 years, you know, in Jamaica would have been used to a lot of IPOs. Why is it important for businesses to do an additional public offer? Really and truly, it really helps the business in the same manner in which an IPO helps the business, right? So if it is that the company has strategic objectives that it needs to meet, I think it is very important for companies to consider this route. So when they want patient, I mean, companies want patient capital to drive the business, they can choose a route of looking at doing an additional public offer. Now, it is similar, very much similar. You know, we would have seen in the recent past where it is that when we look on the prospectuses that come out on the Jamaica Stock Exchange website, we're seeing where it is that, you know, businesses have to explain why it is that they need this additional capital. And with additional capital, they are actually going to be increasing the number of shares that are made available to the public. And they always have to ensure that in as much detail as possible, they share with potential investors why it is that they want this additional capital and how it is that it's going to benefit the business to grow.
And so how different, I know it's very similar, but how different is it in relation to an IPO, except that it's additional? And what are some of the criteria that a business must satisfy in order to go back to the public to ask for funds?
So I don't want to say that there are many starkly different. It is really the company coming back for additional capital for the business, right? It can be dilutive to existing shareholders. So what happens is that, you know, the company is really coming back to the market to issue additional shares to raise additional capital for the business. So what we're assuming is that, you know, the business is in good standing, right? There are certain guidelines that they must meet by being a listed company on the Jamaica Stock Exchange. You know, they have to ensure that they are providing reports to the stock exchange in a timely manner, right? They have to make sure that their financial statements are audited and published in a timely manner based on the criteria that would have been set up by the Jamaica Stock Exchange. They need to ensure that they're in good standing with the Companies Office of Jamaica as well, right? So they want to make sure that they're in good standing across the board. And what needs to happen as well, I think it's very important, and this is something that, you know, we don't really talk about, but we want to make sure that that company has a story to tell the potential investors, right? Potential investors like the idea of a story being told to them in terms of what exactly would have happened in the company since they would have done that initial public offer. And then taking it a step further, how are you going to help me to grow my wealth? That's what investors, in essence, want to hear. So whatever it is that that company is doing, they have to really think it out. From the board decides that they want to do an additional public offer, that means they would have, you know, strategically thought it out. They would have put together their business plan. They would have put together their strategic statement and all of those things that they would have put together to ensure that people can understand the business. It is very important for the financials themselves to also tell a good story, right? A lot of people do not want to invest in companies that are not necessarily going in the right direction. For example, if you look on the financial statements of the company and you're seeing year over year for the last 5 years, we're seeing where revenues are dropping off significantly, and we're seeing that filter down into the net profit of the company, where it is that the company is potentially making a loss. Something is happening in that business, regardless of the fact that they're doing their filings on time and things of that nature. Something is happening in that company, and it may not necessarily be attractive for potential investors to invest. So there could be a very good story behind it in terms of why it is that their revenue is falling off, and there's something that they need to do and they need to invest in to ensure that they continue to grow, or, you know, change the trajectory of the company and start to grow again. But it's very important for companies who, you know, the people behind the companies who are bringing these companies to the public for additional capital, to show how it is that they would have used initial funding, how it is that they would have reinvested the money into the business, how it is that they're going to be investing this new capital that investors are going to be going into their pockets and sharing with them, how it is that they plan to use it to better the company and to create some level of return for the investors.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually glad that you talked about people, because that's where I was going to go after. But you touched on the importance of leadership, because I'm sure that is key to listing, and that's key to raising funds from the public. So thank you for touching on that. Now, we cannot talk about APOs and IPOs without talking about ordinary shares or preferred shares, because obviously if the company is going to the market, then there's something that is being offered. So what are these things being offered? So let's talk about preferred shares versus ordinary shares, and when do we consider which one?
All right. It really depends on the business itself, whether or not it wants to be issuing preference shares or ordinary shares. So ordinary shares are what it is that we're used to. Whenever it is that a company is doing an IPO or an APO, ordinary shares are the shares that are typically offered to the general public. In addition to that, sometimes we do have situations where it is that companies prefer to issue preference shares for the entity. And preference shares, typically there is a guaranteed rate of return, and there's typically a time horizon, right? So for preference shares, they're typically time bound, and they typically have a rate of return. It's typically in the form of a coupon payment. right? And that is something that, you know, at the end of the day, after that period, the facility or the preference share would have matured. And the person gets back their principal at that point in time, and throughout the period, whether or not, you know, the preference shares are going to be, they're going to be paying quarterly, they will get their return on a quarterly basis, right? So if that is for a preference share, for ordinary shares, no, returns are not necessarily guaranteed. For ordinary shareholders, you know, they really benefit from the perspective of capital appreciation on the stock exchange. So typically, once it is that a company does well in terms of its performance, it is typically rewarded, not all the time, but it's typically rewarded by, you know, we see movements in the share price, right? So once it is that companies are performing well, doing all the things that they're supposed to be doing, you know, people want to invest in it and they're willing to pay a higher price. Now, in addition to that, what happens as well, I said before that dividends is not guaranteed, right? Companies may have a dividends policy that once it is that they generate a certain amount of income for the company, they will pay out X. But for many companies, it is not guaranteed. So what happens is that for the ordinary shareholder, unlike the preference shareholder, where it is that they get a stated amount of return on their money over a period of time, it is not necessarily guaranteed for the ordinary shareholder.
Excellent, excellent. Now, Therese, is there any final words that you want to share? Perhaps something I didn't touch on that you want to, you think it's important for audience members to hear about?
Yes, I think it's very important, you know, for our audience in general to understand exactly what it is that they're getting into when they're investing. And I think it's very important for everybody to ensure that, you know, they have somebody who it is that they can rely on for sound investment advice. We don't know everything. And from time to time, we need to ensure that we know exactly what it is that we're getting into. And that's why we're here as brokers, right? So that's why we're here at Burita Investments Limited, to ensure that we have team members who are out there who can provide you with information to help you to understand those financial statements, to understand what are the governance framework in place for certain companies, to understand, you know, the succession planning that are in place for some businesses. It's very important for you to be able to reach out to your advisors. It's also important, and it's a big thing that we do at Burita, we want to ensure that we're consistently changing the investment paradigm. And how are we doing this? We're ensuring that we're consistently educating our investors, right? And we're encouraging our investors to go out there and read as widely as possible. Try as best as possible. We know sometimes the prospectuses are 200 pages, right? It doesn't matter. Try as best as possible to go out there and read as much as you can. And what you don't understand, have those conversations with your brokers to make sure that at the end of the day, you are making the right decision for you and your family. Because ultimately, you know, what we're trying to ensure that we're consistently creating value and creating wealth for our clients.
Excellent, excellent. No wonder you are the Vice President of Investment Banking, Therese Kettle. Well said. And I know that persons are going to be reaching out to you. And I've been seeing those ads on TV and those YouTube ads popping up. So great job on the marketing, I must tell you. How can we reach out to you? How can we find you if we want to get further information?
Sure. So we have our online presence at burita.com. And, you know, we're using AI now. And, you know, so there's a little chat button there. You can talk to Barry if it is that you don't want to come into our offices. We have locations in Kingston, Mandeville, and Montego Bay. You know, you can always reach out to us by calling us at Burita. And, you know, if you go on burita.com, you'll find all the information there about us and how it is that you can contact any one of our team members.
Thank you so much. Therese Kettle, VP Investment Banking, Burita Investment Limited. It has been my pleasure to host you on the Jamaica Stock Exchange and You podcast. All the best to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Henico. It was great being here.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for listening to the Jamaica Stock Exchange and You, a podcast of the Jamaica Stock Exchange with your host, Henico Watkiss-Porter. Question, have you invested in stocks? Do you have a preference for IPOs or APOs? Let us know at what stage of the investment continuum you are at, ranging from beginner to expert. We want to hear from you. Please send us your feedback at podcast@jamstockx.com or on social media at JamstockX. The Jamaica Stock Exchange and You is produced by me, Henika Watkis-Porter of the Entrepreneurial You podcast. You can find it at henikawatkisporter.com to hear leadership and entrepreneurship lessons from guests like Marlene Street Forrest, Les Brown, Richard Branson, Seth Godin, and more. You may also connect with me on Twitter or LinkedIn at Henika Watkis-Porter. That's all for now. See you next time. Remember, as Warren Buffett says, rule number one, don't lose money. Rule number two, don't forget. Rule number one, take care.